The phenomenon of competitive eating began in 1916 on Coney Island as a promotion for Nathan's Hot Dogs. Since then, it's gone on to become a highly organized activity some people call a bona fide sport. There's even an International Federation of Competitive Eating. There are big stars, big money, and bigger stomachs. Journalist Ryan Nurz fell in love with competitive eating in New York and has gone on to become a competitive eating MC. Nurz is the author of Eat This Book. He told Steve Paulson about one of competitive eating's stars.
You have Eric Badlands Booker, the competitive eating-themed hip-hop guy, who, you know, he's normally a pretty convivial sort, but relatively a little bit shy. He has a little bit of a stutter, but then, you know, somehow over the course of competing in these contests, he created this alter ego called Badlands Booker. The name Badlands was given to him by a New York Post writer named Gersh Kunstman, and he just went with it. And now you see Eric off the stage, and then when you see him on the stage, it's this new kind of overconfident, almost like a World Wrestling Federation character, where he's beating his chest and he's saying hoo-ah to the crowd. And then you've got another guy named Tim Janis. He's named himself Eater X. He's a Wall Street. He's got a mask that he paints on his face every time he goes, and the mask fits whatever he's eating that day. He used to be a Wall Street trader, and he stopped being a Wall Street trader, but he would have this day life of going to Wall Street, trading, and his night, you know, or his weekends would be painting his face and going and eating competitively.
Now, you've been more than just an observer in all of this. You've been an MC at some of the events. What does that involve?
Well, it's not just being an MC. First of all, you're also producing the events. So at any given event, say a watermelon eating contest, you have to decide what's the time limit for the contest. How much watermelon are we going to put in front of each person? Are we going to weigh it before and then weigh it after? And if so, what kind of scales do we need? There has to be an emergency medical technician at every competition, just in case someone suffers a reversal of fortune, or in case someone gets a little ill or chokes. And you've got to think of how you're going to introduce all the characters. I end up every person, say there's a local kid who wants to eat watermelon, I will give him a persona that he doesn't even know he has before he's coming up on stage, you know? I will say that he was the Cap'n Crunch eating champion of his neighborhood and that he tore the roof of his mouth and the scars took a long time to heal, but the psychological wounds took even longer. And here he is back at the competitive eating table today, you know, and that sort of backstory. And so you have to create a sort of drama, and you have to make sure that the contest beforehand is organized such that at the end of it, you can calculate exactly who won and what their totals are, which can sometimes be difficult, actually.
You mean what their totals were? Isn't it just a matter of how much they ate?
Well, the thing is that traditionally, it was just things like hot dogs and burgers and stuff like that. So there, yeah, you can just say how many hot dogs they ate. But now what it's turned into is you have multiple chicken wing eating contests. And chicken wings can basically only be done in terms of weight before and after. So you end up with these big trays filled with chicken wings. And you weigh them before, and you have to subtract what they weigh afterwards. And that difference is their total. And that is the way that it has been going with a lot of things, because now there's more and more money involved. You know, the first prize for a lot of contests is $2,500, second prize $1,500. These guys, you know, end up winning by 4 ounces. So you can't just calculate when it's something like lobster or watermelon or chicken wings. You have to calculate in terms of weight before and after.
You know, I think the only eating contest I was ever a part of, it was just a backyard party. It was a watermelon eating contest. I have to say I won.
Nice work.
Yeah, and it was just gobbling, chowing down that watermelon, seeds and all, of course. And I just remember a lot of liquid pouring out of my nose afterwards. And it was pretty gross, I have to say.
Yeah, you know, well, some people see it as gross. Some people, you know, see it as a sort of, after a while, you see a certain physical poetry about it when you see someone like Kobayashi, you know, putting down 53 and a half hot dogs and buns in 12 minutes. It almost transcends that disgusting element and becomes something that you actually enjoy watching.
53 hot dogs and buns in 12 minutes?
Yes, that's the present hot dog record by Takeru Kobayashi of Japan. He makes about $200,000 a year on the Japanese circuit. He once did a competition called Weight Crash, where he ate for 45 minutes Japanese buffet food and gained 26.6 pounds in 45 minutes.
Oh, my God. Well, and the amazing thing is I've seen pictures of him. He's not a big guy.
That's right. That's the way that, you know, competitive eating, just like any sport, it evolves. At first, it was the sport of every man, and the fat guys kind of get their chance to play. And now, just like any other sport, it's evolving towards the smaller and slightly more athletic. You've got Kobayashi, weighs 145 pounds. He's in unbelievable shape. He's got a six-pack. He's very muscular. Then the second best eater in the world is a woman named Sonia Thomas. She weighs 100 pounds. She stays in great shape, and she comes out and beats all the men.
This woman is 100 pounds? How much can she eat?
Well, Sonia the Black Widow Thomas, as she's known, she has some pretty stunning records, actually. She ate 46 dozen oysters in 10 minutes, which takes aphrodisiac to a new level with the oysters. She ate 65 hard-boiled eggs in 6 minutes and 46 seconds. She ate 11 pounds of cheesecake in 9 minutes. She ate 30, how many hot dogs did she eat last year? 38 hot dogs and buns in 12 minutes. She won Wing Bowl. I don't know if you've ever heard of Wing Bowl, but it's a eating contest slash sort of orgy bacchanalia that fills an entire arena in Philadelphia at 7 in the morning. The Wachovia Center, where the 76ers play, fills with 20,000 people, and it's just a stage filled with large men eating chicken wings and strippers bearing their midriffs behind them. And it's one of the most insane events that I've ever attended.
Now, I would think to be a champion competitive eater, you've got to have good technique. I mean, I don't know, there must be some tricks about how much to chew the food and certainly how to swallow it.
That's correct. And I think that the main things are stomach capacity, esophagus control or swallow control and swallow timing, and even with some events, your bite strength and your chewing strength. Some of these guys, I know Badlands Booker, before a contest that's a really chewing heavy contest, like a pickle eating contest, he will chew packs of gum, he'll chew 15 packs of gum a day to work on his jaw strength. Then you have most of the guys right now are using a water training technique where they see how fast they can put down a gallon of water. And some of them, like Joey Chestnut, Ed Cookie Jarvis, these guys are putting down a gallon of water in less than 45 seconds, which is pretty incredible. So they are capable of controlling their esophagus and controlling the swallow and being able to do it very fast. It's almost like a sword swallower, where you can control these esophageal sphincters. There's one that's kind of high up in the esophagus. There's another cardiac sphincter that's lower down, and they are able to control whether nausea will set in. You know, they are able to control the gag reflex, and someone like Kobayashi is obviously very able to control just swallowing large chunks of unchewed food.
Now, you faced off against Kobayashi once, didn't you?
I did indeed, and I would have to say that I did nothing if not confirm my utter lack of talent in competitive eating.
What happened? Well,
it was a qualifier for Crystal Burgers. Crystal Burgers are a little bit like White Castles, the prototypical slider, as they're known. And I did train. I trained with all kinds of stuff. I trained with the water training. I ate, you know, massive amounts of oranges. I ate massive amounts of bananas. I ate Mexican food. I did all this stuff. But when it came down to it, I got there out in the hot sun. There's the greatest competitive eater alive today. In my opinion, one of the greatest athletes alive sitting right next to me. And I just cannot swallow fast enough to even begin to compete. I was on 6 burgers when he was on 36 burgers. 6 burgers. And I heard, I was so proud when I hit 6. And I looked over at him, and they had a number behind him that said 36. It's so depressing. You know, you just realize you have no talent. And I think that basically, if I trained and trained and trained, my swallowing skills are just so poor that it would take a long time for me to ever do the deuce, which is 20 hot dogs and buns in 12 minutes. So I think I'll probably have to hang up the fork after that.
There's a part of this process we haven't talked about, which is what happens once the contest is done and you put in 12 pounds of food or something like that, or 20 pounds of food. Don't you have to get it out?
It's a valid question, one that some competitive eaters are a little reluctant to talk about, but I have pried and I have gotten to the bottom of some of it. The term in competitive eating for letting the food come up prematurely is a reversal of fortune or suffering urges contrary to swallowing. We don't like to use the P word, but if that happens during the contest, they are immediately disqualified. We often say that, you know, Elvis has left the building and get the guy off the stage. After the contest, and a reasonable amount of time has passed and they seem to be okay and we go through the awards ceremony, they are allowed to go off and do their thing, and it's kind of a don't ask, don't tell policy. What I've heard from talking to the eaters is that some of them estimate that around 20% actually will get rid of the food by puking afterwards. Most of them, however, it's sort of a thing of pride to keep it down. I have heard of some use of laxatives, but even that is not very common. For the most part, for example, Kobayashi said that the day that he vomits after a contest is the day he retires. It was as if he did that after a contest, he would have to commit harikari. I mean, he was very adamant about keeping it down and that a real food fighter, which is what he calls himself, not a competitive eater, but a real food fighter not only eats the food, but absorbs the food. And that is part of the competition. And that is what separates a real food fighter from an average guy who can just eat a decent amount and then do whatever, throw it up or anything like that.
Ryan Nurz is the author of Eat This Book. He talked with Steve Paulson.